You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Monday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for listening, for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. It's Monday, so we're opening up the mailbag, and it's all trade deadline stuff. We're going to talk about some guys that you think that the Heat should target and some guys who we think the Heat should target. But let's start with how this Kristaps Porzingis trade impacts the Heat, David. As everybody knows by now, Porzingis traded by the Knicks to the Mavericks for Dennis Smith Jr., a bunch of other things, basically Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan expiring contracts, and a couple of draft picks. But in essence, the Dallas Mavericks get Porzingis to pair up with Luka Doncic. That's sort of their duo of the future that they're going to be building around. And then if you're New York, you've created now two max cap slots to presumably chase Kevin Durant and a second star such as Kyrie Irving or something like that. So, like, let's just start here. What did you think about that trade for New York? Because I think that it's obviously a home run for Dallas, but what do you think about how the Knicks are handling these things?
I don't know. I feel like they're banking on something that may not work out, and that's a hell of a gamble to take. Now, I think David Fizdale has a good enough reputation so that that's starting to shift a little bit. Scott Perry, the team's general manager, again, has a good enough reputation around the league where I think players would be interested in joining that team because of that duo. The front office is a little different, but you still have the ownership in place. You still have James Dolan. You still have his meddlesome ways. And I don't know if that's, I mean, owners are owners. I don't know that anybody really looks at the Heat and goes, man, I love playing for Mickey Arison. Maybe they do. I don't think that's been, they say it because, you know what, his name is at the bottom of those checks that they receive every 2 weeks. So I think that that's a big part of it. But at the same time, I'm not sure how anybody really cares too much about what owners do or say or how they're involved with the team or not. As long as the day-to-day operations run smoothly. And I imagine that for all the dysfunction that there's been in the past couple of years, it would start to move smoothly if you have two players like KD and Irving on your team, especially with a coach like Fizdale, who both of us think has, you know, great potential to be a good leader there. It should be fine. But again, it's a hell of a gamble. I'm not sure you could wind up with a high draft pick. You and I were talking about this before. You could also clear some more space there by trading some of the other players that are currently on the roster, maybe acquire a secondary level support player, somebody to back up whoever you're able to sign with those two max deals. So it makes a lot of sense on that note. But I look at those Knicks, and you know, for the past 4 years, I really identified them more than anything else with Kristaps Porzingis. As much as Carmelo Anthony was the superstar player there when Kristaps first joined that team, that was Porzingis' team, and it looked like it was going to be that way heading into the future as well. And I think they just kind of gave up on the Porzingis era a little too early.
I mean, yeah, they did, but at the same time, like, what are you going to do? Wait another year, have to sign him to an extension, and then now you're dealing with that where this is the summer Kevin Durant is a free agent. Like, he's not a free agent next summer, you know? For the Heat, there are a couple ways where this impacts them, because obviously when all this stuff started happening, we had seen reports that the Heat were among several teams to be interested in Kristaps Porzingis, and then within a matter of minutes of that report surfacing, Kristaps was ported, was traded to Dallas. But the Heat wanted to be in the mix. They were obviously interested in acquiring a guy like Porzingis, which means that they are trying right now to upgrade this roster. Now, I don't know if that was just a matter of them giving a call to the Knicks saying, hey, what's the price on Porzingis? What's it going to take? We don't know what they were even offering or if they even got that far into the conversations, but we do know that they're out there looking, and that just like when Jimmy Butler was available and just like now with Porzingis, they're at least making phone calls and at least trying to get into the mix. But for me, it's a little disappointing knowing that in the last 4 months, three superstar players or superstar potential players like Kristaps Porzingis, Jimmy Butler, and Anthony Davis, who still hasn't been traded at the time of us recording this, have been on the trade block, and Miami's not going to get any of them. Like, Pat Riley used to be the guy to go get these guys, and he's not in position to go get any of these guys, and it's a little disappointing if you're a Heat fan.
I don't know. I don't see it that way, to be honest with you. I think, look, I mean, he's acquired two big deals over the course of his career. I mean, Alonzo and Shaq. Other than that, has he really ever really acquired all that many? And I think you're starting to see these kind of moves, Paul George, et cetera, happen more frequently. But look, the Anthony Davis deal, we can wipe that clean because that's clear that Rich Paul wants to steer him to Los Angeles. And that's fine. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. So that one shouldn't even really count. As far as the Knicks are concerned.
But didn't guys want to go to Miami? That's the other part of this. Didn't guys want to go to Miami? Yeah. Like, guys don't want to go to Miami right now. And I think a big part of that is they don't have the star player as a recruiting. Like, the only reason LeBron and Bosch wanted to go to Miami is because Dwayne Wade. Like, let's not give Pat Riley too much credit for that.
That's fair.
But Riley did have the flexibility to go get those guys, and you got to give him credit for at least putting the blueprint in place. But he hasn't done that. He doesn't have the superstar to play as a recruiting tool. And now, like, if you're the Heat, you're already a fringe playoff team at best right now in the Eastern Conference. And if the Knicks plan works out, that's another team that leapfrogs you in the Eastern Conference.
Look, I mean, things have stalled a little bit or maybe not progress as quickly as I think the Heat front office envisioned. They used that terminology back a couple of seasons ago when they signed Olynyk and Johnson and Waiters to those contracts that they were, in their eyes, still pretty movable. And that's not been the case because their contracts individually in a vacuum are not so egregious. You can't say that it's like a really, really terrible contract to be paying them if they had managed to continue progressing the way they thought. If James Johnson had played up to the level he was during that contract season, that deal wouldn't be that hard to move. Same thing for Waiters and Olynyk. Like, everybody's at this point now in the Heat fandom where they are right on the edge or maybe even the ledge. They are crying and screaming and, they're trashing Riley in the way they never have before. And I don't know that I necessarily want to rush to Riley's defense either, because some of those decisions were probably not the best. But at the same time, I think we got to take a step back. Like, I mean, we've lost a couple games recently. We got blown out by Oklahoma City. I mean, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, we were all praising Point Justice as the savior of this franchise. And now all of a sudden things have fallen apart. We cannot have these kind of highs and lows over the course of the season and expect any kind of level-headed rationale as to what this team is and what it is going forward. And that's part of the problem for me anyway.
And I think we've been pretty consistent, or at least I know that I have been pretty consistent about not thinking that this is a very good basketball team, and that, that December stretch was really fun, but I never got onto this podcast and said the Heat are solved. Like, everything's going to be fine. I just said that the Justice Winslow thing is a lot of fun and that the Heat are winning games is a lot more fun. But I never for a second thought that the Heat were in a good position. I've always been very pessimistic, and you know this because you have to talk to me and listen to me every day and talk about it. But I don't think that this is a good situation for the Heat, and I think something's got to give. And I do blame Riley for that. I think he made several mistakes over the last 4 years since LeBron left, and I don't know if there's a way to fix it, but that's part of what we're going to talk about when we come back after this break. So we asked you to submit some of your top trade targets for the Heat on Twitter. We'll get to a few of those in a second, but first we got to mention, at least David, Dwayne Wade, named to the All-Star team as a special selection along with Dirk Nowitzki from the Western Conference. Pretty cool thing for the NBA to do. We've talked about the idea of having sort of a celebrity appearance or like kind of a legacy roster spot on these All-Star teams for these guys who are kind of in their last years on their retirement tours. We don't know that Dirk is necessarily retiring after the year, even though some people expect him to do so. But Dwayne Wade is on his last dance. Cool thing for the NBA to do, to just say, hey, you know what? People want to see you here. You got a ton of fan votes. Let's put you in there anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. The All-Star Game is an event and a spectacle and of great entertainment value to its fans, for a lot of fans. I think this signifies like the change in the season, as far as now we're starting to see the playoff push increasing around the league. And I think the All-Star Game perfectly captures that. It's fun. And seeing players with big names like Nowitzki and Wade, especially Wade, because I think Nowitzki hasn't been playing much. And even where he does go around now, like, I don't, again, because he hasn't officially said he's retiring, I don't think it's the same goodwill tour. But Wade and seeing him go from city to city, I mean, getting MVP chance in the Madison Square Garden, that's pretty tremendous. So I think it's a heck of a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see it.
Let's talk about some of these trade targets, because on Twitter, we asked you guys to send us your favorite trade targets or just players that you want the Heat to try to acquire, whether it be a dream guy or just like a role player or whatever. So we got a few of them. I just want to kind of run through them, David. This first one came from Lovely Lou, Brad Beal. We've talked about Beal a couple times. It doesn't sound necessarily like Washington is ready to start trading anybody. The latest reports are that they want to keep John Wall, Beal, and Otto Porter, and they want to try to push for the playoffs this season. Mm-hmm. But as we saw on Friday with Kristaps, stuff changes really quickly in this league. Is Brad Beal, when it comes to dream targets, is that the guy? Like, what do you think about Bradley Beal?
I think he's a great player. I think he's underrated. He's good defensively, good playmaking ability. I don't know if he necessarily has the temperament for leadership role, but although we've seen the Wizards play better without Wall and with Bradley Beal kind of leading the charge there. We saw that last season as well. So I think he's a great fit in Miami. You know, he seems like he would be a guy who would embrace the culture, especially because, you know, it is normally something all about winning, and I think he would thrive in Miami, to be honest with you. I think it would increase his market value, something he probably does not get a lot of, you know, as far as the overall market value and marketability in Washington. So that would probably be very appealing for him.
And I think he's a perfect fit next to Justice Winslow at point guard and Josh Richardson on the perimeter. Like, he spaces the floor. He impacts the game even when he doesn't have the ball. He's tremendous when he has the ball. I think he's a great fit there. Obviously, Beal would be an awesome player to add to that mix, but it would probably cost you Josh Richardson or something like that to get him. Yeah. And so if you keep that in mind, all right, well, Richardson for Beal, actually, that's something we got in the mailbag came from Ferris. Brad Beal, I feel Josh Richardson would be a much better fit next to John Wall. He's clearly an alpha, and Josh Richardson isn't. Otto Porter gets to shine more as well. So that's kind of from the Washington standpoint is what Ferris is writing in. It makes sense. But also, they're probably going to be looking for cap relief and other things like that. And ultimately, I don't know that the Heat have the horses to get it done or necessarily even should get that done with the amount of assets that they would have to part with. So I actually look at Brad Beal as that summer of 2021 when he's a free agent. He's going to be 28 that year. That's when you go after him, not necessarily in the trade market. Let's get to another one. This one comes from Get Well DJ or DJJ for Derek Jones Jr. Markelle Fultz. As a trade target, what do you think about that?
I mean, we had talked about this a few weeks ago when the noise first started blooming out of Philadelphia. You know, it makes a lot of sense because he's young, and I think he can kind of develop at a similar pace to Richardson, Winslow, and Bam. So that is something, you know, there's talent there clearly. I just don't know at this point. I don't know what you'd have to give up in order to acquire a player like Fultz. Do you have any idea of what a potential package would be? I know they're kind of sort of shopping him around. I just don't know that Miami has anything that's realistic as far as acquiring a Fultz. But as far as the acquisition itself is concerned, I don't have a problem with it if you don't have to give up all that much. I don't think I'd be willing to move any of the three young players in exchange for Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, no way. But if it was like Wayne Ellington and a future second-round pick,
yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, I guess. Like, look, if you're the Heat and you don't really have the assets to go and get a clear upgrade and some of these guys aren't very tradable, then maybe that's what you have to do is buy low, right? It would be nice if you're Miami, you can get off of like a Deion Waiters or a James Johnson contract and get Fultz. I don't see Philly wanting to take on that long-term money. So it would probably take like an Ellington, an expiring contract plus a draft pick or something like that. Like Fultz's trade value is all over the place. Like Zach Lowe wrote in his piece over the weekend that him and his sources have no idea what Fultz's value is, but I could imagine Philly doing something like that. I'm not super in love with Markelle Fultz, but I like the idea of buying low in order to just try to sell high later on, but, or maybe it just pans out. Okay. Let's do another one here. Zach LaVine. That one comes from LJ. Zach LaVine, so reports now that the Bulls are open to shopping some of their guys that basically aren't Wendell Carter Jr. or Larry Markkanen. That includes Zach LaVine. That includes a guy like Chris Dunn. LaVine's, I think, the interesting target there. I don't love him as a fit for the Heat. What about you?
Zach LaVine? No. I don't know that he's necessarily an upgrade. Like, he provides a little offensive punch there. But even that, I don't trust his efficiency.
He's too high usage, right? Yeah. You kind of like he's a good shooter. He's a great 3-point shooter, but he just tends to need the ball too much. He's like a better version of Deion Waiters, and that hasn't super worked out, and it's not because Deion Waiters isn't good enough. It's just because that style, we talked about this last week, doesn't really fit next to Justice Winslow.
Now, is he capable of creating his own shot at this point? I don't know that he, even pre-injury, he was necessarily known for being able to create his own shot. More of a, like, he can, in space, get to the rim because of his athleticism, and he's certainly fine in catch-and-shoot situations. But do you see him working well off the dribble? Because I don't think that's a big part of his game, even now.
It's a developing part of his game. Like, he can... You're right. Like, when he has a lot of space, he can put the ball on the floor and end up with a dunk. But, look, man, like, he just signed that huge extension, $20 million a year. He's not worth that much money, and I just don't see the Heat really benefiting from having another contract like that on the books for a modest upgrade at that position. It just isn't worth it. I'd rather, honestly, have Waiters at $12 or $13 million a year. All right, final one comes from Michael. Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, or Kyle Kuzma? I kind of like brushed this off at first, and then I thought about it, David, and I was like, well, what if the Lakers and the Pelicans are able to put something together for this Anthony Davis package? And we've heard that the Pelicans aren't super in love with Ball or Kuzma or Ingram, right? But maybe they're in love with something Miami can offer. And we know that Pat Riley has that relationship with Magic Johnson, and as I said last week, he deals quite frequently with Dell Demps, more so than any other team in the league over the last 4 years. So maybe there's a third thing, like maybe they could be a third party in a situation where, you know, for Anthony Davis to get to the Lakers like he wants to, they need a third team. Maybe Miami could be that third team and end up getting one of these guys. Obviously, it wouldn't be all three, but maybe you can grab one in exchange for a draft pick, or, you know, I don't know, like a Wayne Ellington type, or a young player, or maybe a, you know, one of these other role players like a Kelly Olynyk or something like that.
Rank them in terms of preference. Who would you want?
Kuzma.
That's it, isn't it? Kuzma seems like he stands out. Ball and Ingram, you still have no idea what you're getting out of them.
And I like Ingram's fit as an idea, but we've also seen that idea of a fit not super, like, not work out in Los Angeles next to LeBron. So I would go Kuzma, Lonzo Ball just for the raw talent, and then Brandon Ingram. I guess that's how I would rank them.
No, I mean, the Ball situation, look, I got to be honest with you, I would absolutely hate it. I would never record another podcast with you if Lonzo Ball is acquired by the Miami Heat. And
why?
I can't stand everything that happens in the periphery. Like, you covered it.
Is LeVar a thing?
Is he?
Right,
I mean,
now?
We're hearing, like, that Lonzo Ball, who quite frankly sucks and has no kind of impact whatsoever on decision-making processes around the league, that he would prefer not to get traded to the New Orleans Pelicans because he doesn't want to go to a team with a quote-unquote established point guard. Who are we talking about here? Drew Holiday? Or are we talking about Elfrid Payton? Is either one of these the challenge that Lonzo Ball isn't willing to meet? Because then if that's the case, we've already got Tyler Johnson and Justice Winslow here, so he can't come to Miami.
Let's go to this next one from Daniel, who writes in, okay, set aside Goran Dragic and Dwayne Wade. List every other Heat veteran, individually or in combination. Identify other teams that would trade for them. For purposes of my question, it isn't necessary to quote-unquote improve the team via these trades, though that'd be nice. At this point, we just need changes. This comes out to basically reshuffling the deck chairs in the Titanic. But what about, like, a James Johnson? Like, where do we see him fitting in? We've talked about Houston a lot.
Yeah, I think a lot of it also depends on what happens after the Anthony Davis trade. Like, if you wind up losing a lot of your depth there, I could see him fitting alongside LeBron as another wing player there. I mean, that might work. I could also see him in Portland. I mean, again, that's another move there where, I mean, they've got Al-Farouq Aminu. You know, could James Johnson kind of provide a little bit additional playmaking ability and some defense for a deeper player front than they actually project to make?
I like the Sixers if they were willing to give up the Wilson Chandler contract, but then just like the Lakers situation, they'd have to be willing to take on that long-term salary. I'm not sure that they want to do that. Kelly Olynyk?
What team needs a floor stretcher?
San Antonio? Would the Spurs do maybe Kelly Olynyk for, like, Kelly Olynyk and Wayne Ellington for Pau Gasol or something along that line?
Yeah, I think they would. I think they would, actually. And I think, I mean, I think both those players are smart enough. Ellington's never played for Pop. Olenek, I think, is smart enough to handle Popovich, and they'd find a way to match it up. But now, can Olenek play with Davis Bertans?
Davis Bertans is a superstar. He could play with anybody.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know. Maybe. Let's see. I also had maybe like the Hornets, because the Frank Kaminsky thing didn't work out. I just don't, like, do they want another $10 to $14 million guy on that roster? Probably not. They're sort of in the same situation.
He didn't go to a Carolina school, so Michael Jordan doesn't want him.
That's
Ellington,
true.
However,
Deion Waiters. I kind of teased it a little bit, but Phoenix as an idea, like, you could put the ball in Waiters' hands, and that lets Devin Booker play off the ball a little bit more. The Heat would have to attach an asset to Deion Waiters, but maybe they could convince Phoenix to take Deion.
No, I can't. I can't see the Suns being convinced that Waiters is a point guard or a playmaker.
I don't think anybody's taking Waiters. Philadelphia, obviously, you got to try to make that connection, like a Fultz for Deion deal. Like,
that would be great.
Is it
that I think would fit well? But I'm not. I don't know, because I mean, obviously, he comes back to Philadelphia where he's from. I think they could use that off the bench a little bit.
Yeah. Playing. But then you have the long-term money situation. But then again, Fultz is on a long-term deal. Like, he's only a year into his rookie contract.
I think the Sixers fans would hate to move them, right? Unloading Fultz for a guy like Deion Waiters?
I don't know. I have no idea how Sixers fans feel about Fultz anymore. Like, would they love the return of Philly cheese? Like, maybe. Maybe they'd be into that. If I were the Heat, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But, yeah. And the last one is Hassan Whiteside, and I couldn't think of anything else other than the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah. I mean, from Gastonia, North Carolina, chance for him to come back home. what would we have to acquire? Nick Batum?
Yeah.
And that's only something because like that. Cody Zeller has been facing injury for most of the season. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't even see how
you'd have to take there. Batum, Bismack Biyombo, and then maybe you could do either Batum for Whiteside straight up, or Biyombo and Jeremy Lamb. Those two for Whiteside.
Oh my god! This is why Daniel, when he writes in, we just need changes. I mean, these things sound painful. Like, I mean, we're talking about this, and I think from our listeners' perspective, you have to understand you're not getting dollars for our pennies. You know, we can't trade bad contracts for great contracts and great players. It's just, you know, that's just not how it works. Go ahead.
I would do that, though. I'm like staring at it right now. Whiteside for Biyombo and Jeremy Lamb. I think I'd do it anyway.
Oh, wow. What would either of them bring? Like, look, I love Biz. I covered him in Orlando. I mean, he's fun. He's interesting. He's not a great player. Terrible offensively, and it would make Joel Anthony look like Nikola Jokic.
But he wouldn't throw a fit every time he was benched.
No, he would not. He's used to it, and there's a good reason for it.
Yeah, he's totally used to it. And if you're the Heat, maybe that's the only thing you need to do to start Olenek and Bam and move on from Whiteside. Like, I kind of think I would do it. And then next year, you save $7 million because Biyombo still makes $17 million. Jeremy Lamb's contract comes off the books. He's expired after this season.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. If you've got a smart speaker, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes. Yeah!
Wrap it up, B.